And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, Joe, what's going on, man?
Hockey today. Hockey will be played.
It's exciting. Real life Nashville Predators hockey happening today.
And exhibition, but a pretty important exhibition.
No question about it. We're going to get to that here in just a second. Munson, how in the world are you today? What's going on?
I'm good. You know why?
Why's that?
Because the NBA starts today.
He's doubleheader, baby. He's fired up. His Lakers.
Man.
And this is like a triple header, really, as a viewer, too, right? Basically, if you're here, Preds lead right into, right? What time is the Pelicans
the
game?
The Pelicans
start?
Jazz? I don't know, like six, maybe?
Yeah, it's a six.
So there you go. It's like, I mean, Preds, then you got Zoom press conferences from the bubble, and then you got a double header.
Hey, I'm excited. Anthony Davis is playing tonight. He's got the goggles. He's looking like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out here.
He does.
We're ready. We're ready for some NBA restart. It's going to be awesome, especially Saturday, because
I haven't even looked at that schedule. What are we looking at Saturday?
A lot. There's a lot of games Friday and Saturday. I'm just going to say that now. It's going to feel like NCAA tournament that we missed this year.
It's going to be really easy for Munson to stay home this weekend, is what he's saying.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I have boyfriend duties this weekend.
That's true.
So, you know, I gotta do stuff with the lady this weekend.
That's true.
So what does that mean? Cooking?
No, that means I gotta go out somewhere that's not my couch and not in front of my TV for a little bit. But then I'm going right back
home. Can you make it like 8 a.m. so you don't miss any games?
Well, I think it's at like 11. It's at 11 a.m., which is not bad.
That's not bad.
Okay.
But
you still got time.
You know, I also got YouTube TV on the phone, so that might get some play on Saturday. But other than that. Like, Friday, I already told her. I was like, look, Thursday, Friday, like.
Don't even try.
Yeah. But we may go off that. Maybe Friday, maybe. But I said, today especially, leave me alone. Don't talk. I don't want nobody near me. It's I just want to watch some basketball.
It's like a national holiday for Munson today.
It is. I've been waiting for this,
man.
We all have. It's funny because when we were taking, like, these guessing games about when are we finally going to be able to watch, like, sports? And when everybody always pointed at July. Like, if we don't get it done by July, it's probably not going to happen. And guess what?
Cut it close,
but we got there. We got Major League Baseball finally up and going. We got, well, you know, for the time being, at least.
Yeah. We got a sweep of the Astros going.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we do. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. I'm a little fired up about that. But, you know, we got baseball starting up. We got the NHL and we got the NBA all starting. And it's finally coming through. Like, we're getting back to some kind of normalcy, some kind.
Boys, I came to the realization last night that my athleticism that I once had is quickly fading. I mean, quickly.
Wait a minute. How old are you?
27.
You're just entering your athletic prime.
See, you would think that, but my athletic prime apparently was at the age of 19. It's apparently
That's
when
too
I
bad.
Peaked. Yeah. I mean, I could still crush the ball. We played a little socially distant softball, co-ed softball last night. I can crush it. I mean, we play on like a 400-foot field and I one hop the fence, so I can hit the ball a pretty long way.
That's not bad.
I tried to make a triple into an in the park home run, got gunned. It did not work. I tried to jump over the catcher at home, and let me tell you, my vertical leap used to be not good, but at least significant. Here is Joe again. He cannot follow radio protocol.
Joe.
He can't turn his volume off.
What website was this one this time?
It's ESPN because I'm looking up the schedules, and it sounded like Iron Man from Black Sabbath playing.
It did. That was pretty awesome.
See, this is the problem. I'm always a laptop mute guy, but now that we're in the world of doing Zoom press conferences, I constantly unmute, and then I forget.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, but hey. This has replaced my inability to figure out the mute button on the microphone.
Yeah, but
I've got that figured
out.
That's
not a bad trade-off.
Yeah.
We're going to start calling you Old Man Joe on the show now.
Yeah.
Because you're just doing Old Joe things.
Hey.
That's such an Old Joe thing
fits,
to do.
Man, you know?
But anyway, back to me.
Yeah, let's talk about your –
Let's talk about Robbie's athletic
be happy
abilities.
With me. Be happy with a triple, man.
Yeah, I was – man, I wanted to make it – look, we were losing. The team we were playing was really good. I was rounding third. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel at home plate. All of a sudden, catcher catches the ball, and I try to, like, jump over them because I guess in my mind I can do that. My vertical leap, maybe 3 inches, maybe. It was bad. Got
okay,
tagged out.
So the catcher caught the ball and was squared up looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you're if you got a 40-inch vertical. It's probably not going
to
work.
I tried
right?
some deception, like to act like – you know, if you're done like the I'm going to act like I'm going to slide and then jump right over the top of you, tried that. Didn't work.
Man, I mean, that honestly – that as a move is that's some
it's all
elaborate stuff.
It's all know? I could do at that point.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, if you're still crushing the ball, you got to feel good about that.
If we were playing on any other league with a fence in softball that wasn't 400 feet, I think I would have hit it out last night.
Yeah, you would have been able to just do the Jeffrey Leonard back to the one dugout. Flap down and taunt the pitcher.
That's right.
So, I just checked this as we're talking. It is. It's Quinn in quintuple headers.
Quintuple.
Quintuple headers for NBA and NHL on Saturday. Man, I mean, it demands two TVs going at once.
It's been a while since we could say that. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, not to mention, there's going to be some baseball games, too.
Yeah.
If that's your thing. And it's funny because, like, I'll probably watch maybe a little bit more baseball now, because this is around the time I usually start watching the Dodgers, because NBA playoffs is over, NHL playoffs are, Stanley Cup playoffs are over, and then you got, you know, NFL training camp and preseason, but, I mean, who's watching that? So this is around the time where I start watching the Dodgers. So I don't think in the month of, like, July, knowing that basketball is starting back up, I don't think I've ever watched, like, three full games of Dodgers. Yeah. And now I've watched, like, every single Dodgers game this year.
I'm watching more baseball, too. Of course, you know, the Detroit Tigers are 4-2, by the way.
Yes.
Just want to point that out.
Yes, they are.
We're 4-2 as well. How you like that?
Yeah, but, yeah, the Dodgers are supposed to be good. Tigers are still garbage, believe me.
Believe me. They're not good.
No, they're not. But we're 4-2, so that's all that matters. And we're beating the Astros.
Boys,
that's all that matters.
That is fun.
I'm so happy that Predators hockey's coming back. I really am. Look, I'm a hockey guy. I love hockey very much. But I'm looking so much forward to watching an exhibition game today. In the grand scheme of things, doesn't really mean anything. But we all know the importance and the significance of what's coming up this weekend. I'm so excited to have the NHL back. Even these exhibition games that they've had in the bubble, I have loved watching. It's been awesome.
Yeah. No, it's this is a game that I think Adam Vingan said it yesterday. This is not like any other exhibition game. You know, in the preseason, it's a bunch of them leading into the endless regular season. This is kind of a, like, okay, you are getting ready one time only for your postseason. Life starts Sunday.
Yeah, and that's going to be so much fun to watch. The bubble, it's going really well. Like, it just the broadcast of it, it looks cool. Like, you can't tell that the announcers are not there other than when they show them physically not being there.
Right.
I thought, like, the setup the NHL has inside the bubbles, both in Toronto and Edmonton, have both looked great, like, optically. I think the Blackhawks were playing the Blues yesterday and got to play Chelsea Dagger a few times. Good showing by the Blackhawks yesterday. It was nice.
Watch out for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. See? Blackhawks could be that team.
Yeah.
They could be that team. It's like if the Kings were to win, like, the Western Conference.
I know.
Like, that.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of the Blackhawks winning this whole thing, is the Sacramento Kings are your NBA champions.
Yeah, buddy.
That's going to be awful. And they don't have anybody on their team.
Is Buddy Hield still on that team?
No. I think he's hurt.
Okay.
But, see?
He's on the team, though.
Yeah, he's on the team, but he's hurt. But, I mean, it's De'Aaron Fox versus the world, I guess, because that's the only guy they got that's actually, like, you know, decent. Because Marvin Bagley got hurt, and then Buddy Hield had corona, so I don't think he's playing. And,
you know, like, Edmonton is playing against Chicago in the first round.
Home ice.
Everybody's just kind of, like, chalking it up that Edmonton is going to win. And I'm like, have y'all paid attention to Edmonton, like, the past 15 years? They choke all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they do. I get it. They have Connor McDavid. They have Leon Draisaitl. They should win.
We should pick a team.
Best of five. Corey Crawford, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, we should pick a team. Like, a team that's not all, like, completely off the radar to root for, outside of the Preds, of course. But the Preds are on radar.
Probably an Eastern Conference team.
I'm talking about off the radar from NBA or NHL.
Okay.
Just pick one team that off the radar, that you're rooting for to win the whole thing.
Look, I'm telling you this. If it's not in the NBA, if it's not going to be my Miami Heat.
They're not off the radar. They're good.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if it's not going to be them that I'm rooting for, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call them off the radar either. Because they got a chance. They got a chance at a three seed.
I understand, but it's the Lakers.
The three seed
and the Clippers.
There's just such a gap, though, you know, to the three seed. I still think that counts.
I mean, it's Lakers, Clippers, and then the rest of the world, but yeah, and the Bucks, obviously.
Like, who is picking the Thunder to win? Nobody.
I mean, if I was a gambling man and those betting odds look a little bit.
Well, maybe.
And in the Thunder's favor, I might take the Thunder.
I'm just saying,
I might just put $5 for the Thunder to win the championship.
That could be the NBA version for my team of what we're talking about here.
I'm
NHL.
Going.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, the NHL,
the
two off the radar teams that could surprise are the teams that, like, you know, a lot of people were mad they were even involved in this, which is Chicago and Montreal.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, you got to have Chicago and Montreal involved. You know, both of those teams could be dangerous. You know, Carey Price could be a problem. I mean, I think they'll both lose in the first round, but like you said, 5-game series. How about the in the NBA, Memphis? Is that
Memphis? No, Memphis played really good against
Miami.
John Morant
looked amazing.
Yes, they did.
Him and Valanciunas. If Valanciunas can play like that, and then you have John Morant who's just going to do John Morant things, I'm telling you. They're gonna make it far. They're not gonna win it because they got to play the Lakers probably in the first round, or unless they jump up to a 7 seed.
Right.
But I think Grizzlies. I'm gonna go complete long shot. I'm gonna go with the Wizards. I'm just gonna go
of
Wizards.
Washington.
I'm just gonna go Wizards.
Admiral Schofield, baby.
Admiral Schofield, 20
Mo
points.
Wagner.
Yeah, I'm going them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. The Spurs though are another team to watch out for too. I mean, they got DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. No, they don't have LaMarcus Aldridge, but they do got DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
So I'll go Spurs. I'm not going to go Wizards. Wizards are done.
Yeah, I mean, they're only 4 games back of the Grizzlies for that 8 spot.
I mean, I feel pretty confident.
Bunched up crew right behind the Grizzlies.
But sure I'm pretty sure the 8 seeds, if it's not going to go to the Grizzlies, it's going to go to the Trailblazers. Yeah. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. It's a race between the Blazers, the Grizzlies, and the Pelicans.
Yeah, I was gonna say you don't count the Pelicans as having a chance.
That's the three. Like the Spurs, the Kings. They're just there. They're just there to be there.
I feel pretty confident on the NHL side of things. Florida Panthers not gonna be the surprise team. They got smoked yesterday by Tampa Bay, 5-0. Now get it. Tampa Bay's really good.
Florida rivalry.
Florida rivalry, baby. I don't think the Panthers are gonna be our surprise team.
Is Tampa Bay gonna choke again?
I kind of doubt it.
I mean, everybody's picking them again. Yeah, it's like you figure
they're pretty good.
They're just, yeah.
I don't know, man.
You keep taking swings at it. At some point, you're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say about my Dodgers a lot.
Well, that's true.
And then they get picked every year to win a World Series. And I'm like, yes, this could be our year. And then cheating scandals.
Yes, cheating scandals. When we come back, we will dissect the matchup between the Predators and the Dallas Stars, which, thank God, it's happening today. We have real-life hockey coming back. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Predators forwards Ryan Johansson and Rocco Grimaldi speaking yesterday at their Zoom media availability sessions talking about the matchup today against the Dallas Stars. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. And Joe, it is really cool, I think, the way the NHL has set these exhibition games up for the most part. Just rivals going up against rivals. I mean, you've had the Penguins and the Flyers, the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, yesterday the Blues and the Blackhawks. I think it's been really cool to kind of add some juice to this thing, the way the NHL has set up these exhibition matchups with rivals that have a lot of bad blood against each other. I mean, Edmonton-Calgary, that was a really physical game for an exhibition game the other night. I really like what the NHL's done here.
Yeah, it makes me think. Like, who would you list as your top three rivals for the Predators right at this moment?
I'd probably go in no particular order. Stars, Blackhawks. I want to say Ducks, but I'll probably go Blues now because most of the Ducks that were part of that rivalry are gone. So
yeah.
I'll go Stars, Blackhawks, Blues.
You see, and I still – want to include the Jets in that, you know.
He's close.
But yeah, I mean, the Stars, based on that playoff series especially, they've really jumped up there. It's sad what's happened to the Predators, Anaheim rivalry, because but, you know, we'll always have those moments.
That was awesome.
We'll always have Johansson Kessler, 2017. But one of the main guys from that, of course, is now on Dallas. Today's opponent.
Yes.
So he's always makes for a nice rival.
Corey Perry has really endeared himself to Predators fans. He's just one of their favorites. I know that.
What would have happened if he would have come here? Because that was a real thing.
I was all for
a minute, right?
I was really all for it. I think he would have fit in really well here.
Yeah,
just
actually,
based on what he does, like, just kind of the pain in the butt that he is.
Agitator pest, yeah,
like,
type thing.
They don't have a whole lot of players like that. He can still score a little bit. Like, yeah, I thought he would have been a good fit here.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have gone over with Predators fans. But, I mean, it's not like Dallas fans loved him either. But
yeah, everybody hated him.
Yeah,
until
nobody liked him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like maybe the perfect example of a player that you hate on any other team, but if he's on your team, you just love him. Like, Ducks fans love Corey Perry. Understandably why. He was there for a long time.
Well, and he was great.
Well, yeah.
A time there, too. So they remember him as a great player. Yeah, Bill Laimbeer. Anybody would love Bill Laimbeer on their own team. Most NBA fans who watched basketball then hated his guts.
Yes.
Kind of there are some parallels between those two.
There are, and I wonder, like, we kind of think, I think, Joe, you're of similar mind to me, that the Predators, this is not going to look like a typical exhibition game for the Predators, because they know, and you heard Grimaldi and Johansson say it there, they got to get ready. I mean, they got to get ready to play playoff-style hockey. So I fully expect them to have a pretty high intensity level today, given the fact that their elimination games start on Sunday. I wonder what it's going to look like for the Stars, because, yes, they're about to be in the playoffs as well, but they're going to be in a round-robin style tournament of seeding and playing against, you know, the Blues and the Golden Knights and the Avalanche. And it's not like they're playing for their lives immediately. So
right.
I wonder what the game for the Stars today, what their approach is going to be.
Yeah, probably more of an exhibition feel for them, you would assume. Other than just, I guess, if they can bruise up the Preds and mess them up into their, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that thought, but everybody's got to be thinking of themselves and getting ready, and it is a very different next few days for these two teams after they meet today.
It is interesting, though, like the rivalry part of this, trying to figure out exactly where in the pecking order the Stars rank, because forever here it was the Red Wings. That was the team everyone hated. That was the team that everybody was chasing, really. And then the Red Wings made the move to the Eastern Conference, and it hasn't been the same since then, even though the Red Wings have had a ton of success against the Predators in the last 5 or 6 years.
Which is
it's been really weird. It really has been. Then, of course, it moved to the Blackhawks. That was the big thing starting in 2010. They lost in the playoffs. That's when Chicago won their first cup with this group. And that, I still think, probably, if I had to pick, at least among Predators fans, Blackhawks are probably still number one, just kind of the sense that I get. But it is interesting, like, that 2-3 spot has always been kind of a revolving door with the Predators, and you get that when you're a team that's still, in the grand scheme of things, is pretty young. I mean, the Predators have only been around for just over 20 years, so it's not like they're this long, old, historic franchise that has, you know, 100 years' worth of rivalries built up with two other teams. I wonder where Dallas is right now. Like, is Dallas 2 behind the Blackhawks? Are they 3 behind the Blues or the Ducks? Like, I wonder how Predators fans view that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, to me, I still think the juices probably flow more for the Blues right now. I mean, obviously, for one thing, they're the defending champs. That, you know, those two teams had a bruising playoff series a few years ago. A little bit closer geographically, you can drive to the game. Does that matter at all? I agree with you with Chicago. I mean, it is amazing. That was a decade ago. I mean, you know, as someone who used to go to Chicago all the time, has family in Chicago, it still makes me laugh to think of the long stretch where hockey did not exist in that city. And all of a sudden, Hockey Town, Part Duh.
Back in the Chicago. Days of Tony Amonte, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, yeah. But no, it's I would agree with you that if you pulled Predators fans, that team still gets them going the most because you still have guys from that. And that's the thing too. It's the personalities on the team. The Ducks, not in their division, but I think absolutely most bitter rival for a period there just because of who they had and what had happened between those people.
I've always thought, like, you know, between the fans, it's been Pred Chicago for the last little while as the number one. For that stretch there in, you know, 16 through probably 18 or 19, for the players, I always thought it was the Ducks. I mean, they legitimately hated each other. There was no acting involved there. Ducks players did not like Predators players, and the Preds, vice versa, did not like Ducks players. I mean, I think there was a healthy disdain for the Blackhawks, but I also think the Predators highly respected the Blackhawks for as a team and what they were able to do. I think Preds players absolutely hated the Ducks. I really do.
Well, and the thing is, it's a satisfying rivalry because you go win Game 7 there in 2016, Pecorine, just unbelievable in that game, and then you lose Ryan Johansson and still go win Game 6 there and then make history with a Colton Sissons hat trick at their expense, you know, the next game. Or Game 5 there, Game 5 there, and then you win Game 6. So that's a rivalry that you also have good feelings about if you're a Preds fan because those are some of the greatest moments in franchise history at their expense.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Do you put any stock into whether or not the Predators win today? Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You want to make sure that you're geared up and ready to go on Sunday. But do you put any stock whatsoever in the result of today's game, given kind of this renewed energy we've been talking about and wanting to start this thing off on the right foot?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean, just because a win would reflect, you would think, would reflect them doing some things they want to do. And, I mean, if you're right, and I think you probably are, that Dallas looks at this less as this is absolutely a dress rehearsal. We've got to be sharp and be ready to get right into survival hockey. If that's their approach and your approach is different, it is survival hockey, then you would hope that you would be a little sharper and a little bit more focused on playing three good periods and winning. So a little bit. But, like, if they lose today, it's like, forget it. Give it to the Coyotes.
Coyotes in
don't
four.
Don't even play it.
When we come back, can Philip Forsberg be the dynamic player consistently through these playoffs that the Predators need him to be? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Predators head coach John Hines talking about Philip Forsberg and how dynamic he is. Look, there is such a theme coming from John Hines when he's talking about Philip Forsberg so far in camp. It's always like, yeah. The skill is there. We get that. But you heard him there. He talked about the abrasiveness, putting his head down and moving forward and getting that power game in him. He's mentioned that probably three or four times during camp. So a pretty clear message from John Hines on the way he would like to see Philip Forsberg play. Yeah, we get it. Your skill level is really high, and there's going to be times and places for you to continue to do those things. But he's at his best when he's playing kind of that power forward game, that abrasive game that John Hines was talking about there.
Does any coach in any sport ever say, you know, I want this player to be a little more fancy, a little more finesse. Yeah. We want white-collar players.
Let's get some creativity here.
You don't need to get all mixed up in there. Just do your fancy stuff. No. But, yeah, it's – well, with Forsberg, it's sort of like if you put on the steam and the abrasiveness, the physicality, you can still – get creative within that, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it's sort of like let one lead to the other.
And I think that's kind of the ultimate goal of what John Hines is talking about there. And look, I hear what he's saying. I mean, Philip Forsberg, there have been times where, you know, he's trying to go 1-on-3, 1-on-4, making all these moves. Sometimes it works and it looks great. Other times loses the puck and all of a sudden the other team's going the other way. That's going to happen no matter who you are every now and then. I mean, Connor McDavid every now and then tries to go 1-on-3. It doesn't work. I mean, it's the NHL. That happens. I do think Forsberg has shown flashes of, you know, when he just puts his head down and drives towards the net, he's very difficult to defend because if you do try to muscle him up, he's strong enough to kind of lean on you a little bit and hold off. But if you try to, like, poacheck him too quickly, he's quick enough and skilled enough to move that puck around in ways that very few other guys in the league can. So I think Forsberg has a real opportunity in this playoffs. Look, we all talked about it. Ryan Johansson's going to be important. Arvidsson, Duchesne, all those guys. Forsberg, I think, still is there one forward that can absolutely just throw a team on his back when he gets hot. I mean, when Philip Forsberg is hot, he scores goals in bunches. And there's probably going to come a point, if this team makes a deep run, where they're going to need that out of him at some point. I mean, in 2017, he scored some huge goals in those playoffs. I mean, some clutch goals in those playoffs as well. I think they'll need something similar from him in this tournament.
Yeah, and I believe, well, maybe one of the biggest ones was against Chicago to tie a game late, maybe game three, right?
I think he scored two of them, yeah.
Yeah, so you haven't even mentioned the butt-checking, too.
I know. He hadn't done that as much as late.
But see, that's the type of stuff. I mean, obviously, your focus for Forsberg and those guys is to produce offense, to lead the way in that way. But also Forsberg, Johansson, those guys are like, this team lacks gritty physical presences. It just does relative to a lot of other teams in the league and in the tournament. So that's something that it's a lot on a plate for a guy like that. But that presence is important, you know, and making D-men pay at times along the boards.
Forsberg is such an interesting guy. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a really good player. I really do. And I think he's going to be around here for a long time. But he's always a guy, like, in the preseason and then training camp, you're thinking of, okay, like, can this be the year that he scores 40 goals, 45 goals? Because I think we all would agree, just from a skill set standpoint, he's got that kind of talent to be able to put up 40 goals in this league. And then you look at his numbers, and some of it is, I think, injury-related. Like, I think a couple years ago, he had 28 goals in 64 games, and before got hurt was just lighting it up. I mean, he was playing really well. He's always going to end up somewhere around, you know, 25, 26, 27, 28 goals in a full season. He's gotten to 30, I think, twice. I still feel like, even though he's 25 years old right now, there's another level or two that he can get to on a consistent basis, just because the things he can do with the puck. I mean, you're talking about maybe 10 guys in the league that can do some of the things with the puck that Philip Forsberg can do. And I think you watch that as a fan and you think, okay, yeah, he's really good, and we're certainly glad that Philip Forsberg is on our team, but I still feel like there's another level that he can get to.
Yeah, I mean, the 40-goal discussion with him happens so often. And like you said, sometimes there's other circumstances. I feel like he is streakier than some players,
which
is good and bad, because when he gets going, then everyone is like, okay, how many people in this league are better than that guy? But he does go through those droughts too, and you'd like to see a little bit more evening out on some of that stuff. But I do. It's amazing to think that he's 25 because he's been a key player going back to the 14-15 season. Certainly that level, I think, is there for him to attain.
And, you know, I remember when P.K. Subban was here and Forsberg would be in one of his hot streaks and you'd ask Subban about it, and he's like, yeah, he's the best player in the league. And a little bit of that, I think, is Subban being Subban,
right?
Because that's what he does. But I also think that Subban legitimately believes that when Forsberg is on, he's top 15 player in the game. Like, I really think he believes that. So, look, Forsberg's never going to be Connor McDavid. He's never going to be Nathan MacKinnon. But he doesn't have to be. You're talking about a guy that, from natural talent, he gets to a point in his career where he's scoring 35 goals a year, 40 goals a year, putting up 65, 70 points. Think about how much of a difference maker that could have been in years past and will be in years future if he's able to do that. I mean, you're talking about a gigantic difference maker for this group.
Yeah, and maybe Forsberg also, we talk about certainly Johansson on this line maybe benefiting from being back. Arvidsson is speed. You know, Forsberg was playing pretty well, I think, coming on, but maybe this helps him too, just being back with those guys. I mean, all of them play off each other well, and You know, so that's where you start with this team, is that line really making a difference. And Forsberg is a guy who the Stars did a good job on him last year. I mean, that was and honestly, I can't think of another series where he was really contained to that extent.
Right.
I have to go back and look at the numbers, but
I mean, even against Winnipeg, he played really well.
And yeah, oh, absolutely. I guess in 2016, he had a tough series against the Sharks, I believe. If I remember. But for the most part, he's a guy that you expect in the postseason, and the evidence is there that he's going to rise up to it.
And what I've kind of learned about Forsberg, watching him play, especially the last couple years, there's a little bit of bite to him. Like, he's always kind of in the mix of things after the play. And I think certainly at the beginning of his career, but really up until the last year or so, that hadn't been there a whole lot. Like, I mean, he's always been kind of more of a, I don't want to say a finesse guy, but just that bite to his game really wasn't there. I think he's starting to develop more of that mean streak, for lack of a better word. And you get a player with his skill set to play like that, not necessarily like Corey Perry level like that, but just in terms of getting under the skin of the opponent. You always see him end up in these scrums, and he comes out with that goofy grin on his face. Like, that's when you know that he's kind of getting there in the mix and feeling himself a little bit. I like that. I like to see a little bit more of that out of Philip Forsberg, because I think there's value to that.
Cranky old man in his mid-20s. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe 26 you know? And like next week, a couple weeks from now. So,
second oldest
old
team
man.
In this tournament, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. 28.5 years old on average for the Predators. And it does not feel like it was very long ago, because it wasn't. They were one of the youngest teams. Now, there are two 37-year-olds. You got to keep that in mind. But, yeah, I mean, Forsberg is still represents, like, the core of this team still has good years left if they are going to play well.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you're talking about a kid, 26, really, in terms of hockey? You're basically just now entering your prime if you're Philip Forsberg, which I think if you're a Predators fan, that's highly encouraging, because, as we've said, I still think there's another level or two that he can get to. And I think maybe the most encouraging part, if you're a Predators fan, is I think he's aware of that. Like, I think he knows that there's still another level that he can get to. And hopefully John Hines can be the guy that kind of guides him there. I mean, John Hines has had some success dealing with some high-profile players. I mean, Taylor Hall was a good player in Edmonton. He was nothing in Edmonton like he was with New Jersey when he was the MVP of the league.
Right.
And John Hines, how much credit he deserves for that, I don't know, but at least some, I would think.
Hall gives him a lot. You know, Vingan wrote that story. I mean, Hall gives him a ton and was still, you know, speaking on his behalf, all in with John Hines when he was on the verge of losing his job, which in this league, I mean, more than any other league, the coach gets blamed, gets fired quickly.
No question about it. When we come back, what do we want to see? What are the expectations for Matt Duchene in this postseason for the Predators? We'll talk about that next. Also, take your phone calls, 615-737-1025. Your phone calls and texts at 615-737-1025. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Munson bringing us back in with, I mean, it's an upbeat jam right there.
So this is your girlfriend's favorite song? Is that what you're telling
us? Not her, I don't know if it's her. It's not her. It's definitely not her favorite. Anything by Dave Matthews Band is her favorite.
Okay.
But,
a little DMB?
Yeah. Bad music taste. But anyway.
Have you seen him live, though? Have you seen him live?
No, I haven't.
Wow. But she's going to have to take you to a show?
But that song, it's Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. And I just, like, she sings that song, like, all day. And it's just annoying. I'm just like, man, I think I'm going to leave.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever heard it, and hopefully the last.
Yeah. It's a good song hopefully when you're, last. Like, trying to get, like, upbeat. Like, you're trying to get some upbeat music, it's an okay song, but I'm like, me personally, I'm not a big Lady Gaga or Ariana fan, but, you know, to each his own. People are.
Rex Rhodes, you know, he's like a musical encyclopedia from 1970 until 1998, and then he just basically cut it off after that.
Yeah, I had enough by then. Like, I was like, I'm good. This catalog will carry me through the rest of my life. So I basically just listened to that. Yeah, here and there. Yeah, like, if Radiohead puts out something new, I'll listen to that.
So those are
Alabama Shakes.
Oh, okay.
I like them. Yeah, okay. You know, here and there. Actually, Sturgill Simpson, I've heard some stuff. I think that's, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, you know, you got to keep an open mind. But, yeah, most of it, I mean, music, like rock probably peaked in 1976, you know. Had a great run in the early 90s. Hip-hop peaked in about, I don't know, what, 1999 maybe?
1999, about 2002. There's some good. I mean, there's some good.
Oh, there's still good stuff.
Yeah, there's still good stuff.
But I'll take
that era.
My late 80s, early 90s stuff over all of it.
All my playlists on Spotify that I have downloaded are all 90s hip-hop playlists. Like, okay. I got just a generic 90s hip-hop playlist, a West Coast classics, a Dirty South classics, and that's my thing. So I would listen to the classics. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Backspin.
Talking Preds this hour. Give us a phone call, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Bob, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling into ESPN 1025 The Game.
Thank y'all for having this forum. Everybody obviously wants the Predators to win the Cup. That would be the gold medal, obviously. But I'd like to know y'all's opinion. If they don't win the Cup, what would be, in your opinion, a decent run, like a deep run in the playoffs? Would it be going to the conference finals or the Cup finals? Or, in my opinion, it would be win the play-in round and the first round. If they get that far, then I would consider it, okay, that was a decent run.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We'll talk about that. That's interesting because I think we were trying to kind of figure that out yesterday, and I never really put a number on it, but I got to thinking about it a little bit more. Some of it would depend. Like, there's no question. Anything before the second round, to me, I don't really consider a successful playoff run, especially with this group, this team, and how much experience they have. I understand the regular season was very up and down. But, you know, if you get to the second round and you lose in game 7 to a really good team, okay, you may be able to live with that this year. But I kind of, to me personally, I think the bar for a successful run in this playoff, I would say conference final. I think that's where the expectation needs to be with this group. Not necessarily based on this regular season, but where they are and where they have been for the last 4 or 5 years. Conference final needs to be the bar.
No, I agree. And when you say second round, that would be for them the third round.
Yeah, after the qualifying round is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I think so too. I mean, think about if they beat Arizona as they should, and then they beat like a St. Louis. You know, if you do that, then for one thing, that would be a huge, huge win, and it would be a pretty significant upset. But it would also, like, if you do that and then you lose the next round, you know, like, you have to think of it in terms of going through the journey.
Yeah.
Like, when they beat the Blackhawks, I mean, we all said this, although no one picked them to beat the Blackhawks. I think everyone was like, if they do, watch out. And I think that's how you would feel with this situation, with this team as well. And look, like you said, this era, it could be ending soon with a shakeup. And when you look at the maturity of players, the talent on paper they have, the salaries people are making, this should be a conference final level team.
At least.
Yeah, if not better than that. So I think so too. You know, Bob said decent. I mean, it's the thing. If you're going to apply that word to it, okay, I guess decent could be getting to the second round and pushing it and just falling short like they did. Was 2018 decent? It was a huge downer.
Yeah.
Because they won the President's Trophy and people thought they were going to win the Cup.
Yeah.
Was it decent? I mean, they played a really good team that I thought at the time, okay, the Jets are going to win this thing. Yeah. They didn't, but yeah, I guess if decent is your word, then I suppose. But yeah, I think that success and feeling good and feeling better about the idea of things keeping together after this would be conference final.
Well, and some of it depends on, like, you know, I put the conference final label out there, but like if you go out, you beat Arizona, let's say you play St. Louis in the first round, and you win that, but in the process, you lose 5 guys. Well, then maybe expectations are changed a little bit when, you know, Johansson's out or Forsberg's out and Yossi's out. Like, hopefully these things don't happen. I'm basing my expectations on the team remaining relatively healthy. I mean, you're going to lose some guys along the way for some amount of time in the playoffs. Like, it just happens. Like, it's going to happen. But I'm basing my expectations on them remaining relatively healthy in the grand scheme of things.
Kevin Fiala?
Yeah.
Game one, right?
Game one in St. Louis. Yeah. That was awful. Watching that in person. Ugh.
And, you know, that the thing is, too, you think about what he was doing and looking like at that moment. He looks pretty good now, by the way.
He does.
He's starting to find his game. But, yeah, you're right. You've got to have luck. You've got to have depth. You've got to have the Rocco Grimaldis, Zollner Chucks, players like that. You got to have people rise up. And I mean, Cody McLeod gets you a big goal. You know, that's the thing. That run in particular, every single person connected to the organization did something like outside themselves at some point.
Vern Fiddler, baby.
Yeah, Vern Fiddler, P.A. Parento's out there. You got Pontus Aberg, soon to be Aberg, getting a monster goal. You know, you're going to have stuff like that. Last year, like Rocco Grimaldi stepped up and gave, like, okay, look at this. But then your key players did not step up.
Speaking of key players, Matt Duchene obviously signed this past offseason to be, I'm not going to say the difference maker for the Predators, but a big part of the puzzle that they're going to have moving forward. Did not have a great year. I mean, there were times where he was okay, especially at the beginning of the year. But, you know, 42 points, 66 games, just 13 goals. Certainly the bar for Matt Duchene should be higher. I wonder what expectations are for him heading into the playoffs. He doesn't have a ton of postseason experience. I think he's got 18 total playoff games in his entire career. Now, having said that, last year with Columbus, he was awesome. I mean, he had 10 points, 10 games, 5 goals, 5 assists.
Red hot.
In that run that Columbus was able to put together. Where do you think the bar should be? Not necessarily from a, hey, he's got to score this many goals standpoint, but just the expectation level for Matt Duchene, where do you think it should be as they head into this tournament?
Well, produce for sure. Score goals for sure. Be a difference maker on the power play. But you know, he's centering that line that is so important. That the whole point of last offseason was, okay, there's got to be a way to put together another line to help one of the best lines in hockey. And now that line's back together. So now this line, you're on. Here we go. What can you do with Granlund and Turris? So I view Duchene's, even if maybe he doesn't have great numbers, I view him also through like what that line does, and can it produce? Can it be a threat? Can it, control the puck? And again, it's so much easier for opponents in the postseason if they only have one line that they're really worrying about. That's been a problem for the Predators.
I agree. I mean, my bar for Matt Duchene is there's got to be some semblance of a two-pronged attack for this Predators team. I'm operating under the assumption that the Jofa line being back together, they're at least going to be adequate. I think they're going to at least be good. Now, how good they're going to be, I don't know, but I'm operating under the assumption they're going to be good. You got to have somebody else behind them. If you're going to make any sort of, if you're going to get past Arizona, you've got to have somebody else behind them. Now, maybe that's the Bonino line. Maybe they play the exact same way they played in the regular season and are able to produce offensively. I think you said they outscored opponents 5-on-5, like 29-11 or something like that. Maybe they're the line that does that. But Duchene, whether he's scoring goals or not, you got to find a way to make that line dangerous and consistently dangerous. Not dangerous once every 4 games. I'm talking game in, game out, a dangerous line. That's kind of the bar I'm holding Duchene and that line to. You've got to find a way to give at least a 2-pronged attack offensively from the forward lines. That's the entire reason they signed him. I mean, you've got to find more balance in your lineup, and he's going to have to be a huge part of that.
Yeah, and if that third line does keep performing that way, then now it's not that hard to look at this team and say, okay,
yeah,
they've got a lot of good players. They could really be a threat in this thing.
When we come back, the ACC released their conference-only schedule plan, and it's actually not bad. I kind of like it. What does that mean for the SEC? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN 102.5 The Game.